Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
Kevin is the lead pastor of First Baptist Church here in Kelowna. And Kevin, why don't you come on up? Let's give him a warm hand as he's coming up. And as Pastor Keith mentioned last week, we've kind of got a pastor swap going on.
Yeah, we do.
This week, right?
Yeah.
And this is a man who is passionate about churches working together in unity for the blessing of the city. And I love that. I love that. So one of the ways that we can do that is Keith is preaching a sermon at First Baptist, and Kevin is here going to bring God's word. And that helps build unity between our two churches so that we can get to know congregations and get to know how God is working in different contexts in our city. And I think what a blessing it is to have you here this morning.
So. Thank you.
I'm just going to say a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over. Okay. So, Father in heaven, thank you for Kevin. Thank you for making him. Thank you for gifting him. Thank you for calling him. Thank you for his role in our city as he leads a congregation in our city, Jesus. What a privilege it is to hear the word this morning, Lord, to have it come from another pastor in our city, Jesus. Would your spirit anoint him this morning to proclaim your truth, Jesus? Help us to receive what you have for us. Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to grab this stand here, because I've been told this is what Keith does, so I told I'd be safe if I did what Keith does. So guys, it is so great to be here. I really appreciate the warm welcome, and I say hello from First Baptist Church, because this is actually not so much just about a message, this is actually about us engaging in a relationship together. And I was really looking forward to getting to know you guys a bit, and Keith as well with my church, and it's been great so far. You can let me know how it is afterwards, but so far, so good. And I do want to say that this isn't primarily about the message, because we are one church in Kelowna, and we need to go forward together in unity as God's people, and that's what God's called us to do. Keith and I had this exercise planned. I said, tell me three things that your church loves and one thing they dislike, and I will tell you three things my church loves and one thing they dislike. So he handed me this list this morning, and you guys need to help me out and let me know if you think this has the ring of truth to it, okay? Let me tell you. Community time. You love community time. I think I saw that. It was kind of, was that the part where no one wanted to sit down? Okay, I get that. Free barbecues. Does that happen a lot here? Because First Baptist loves those too. We'd love to get invites. And it says, I'm reading this, okay? So please no one blame me. When Pastor Brennan sticks his foot in his mouth while giving announcements. And I will note that he's in the cage today for the first time. That's what I've been told. So hopefully that will remedy that situation. And dislike is really long sermons. And I have to admit, I don't know what that means to you guys. You can tell me afterwards if it was too long, or maybe don't. It's up to you. I prefer you just don't. How's that? So when Keith asked me about the series that I was jumping into, I immediately asked if I could talk about the discipline of hospitality, because for the church today, I think this is one of the most relevant things we can be struggling with and working towards. It's that important. Hospitality is about welcome and inviting people into the experience and the presence of the other. And I have a sense that if we as God's people would learn to be a people of hospitality, true hospitality, we would have a profound impact on each other's lives and on the world. We would have a profound impact on each other. And our witness, our light, our lives would deeply reflect the life of Jesus and his welcome. And this is so important, that who we are as a people, as the church, as God's people, is defined by how we are as God's people, as a people of hospitality. You know, all my ministry, I feel like I've been haunted by this question. What does it mean for us as followers of Jesus to live an abundant life? What does it mean for us as followers of Jesus to experience the love and togetherness and community and safety and authenticity of the church, the body of Christ, the bride that the Bible tells us about? What does it mean? What does it look like? When I was just starting my ministry, we moved to Vancouver to attend seminary, and we also decided very intentionally not to just go to a church, but to immerse ourselves in the life of a church and seek community, seek that life of togetherness. And the church that we joined promised that community. It was a church that was all about intentional community and mission, being God's people on a mission. And it sounded really good. But I want to tell you, and maybe I'm not alone here today, that my experience of church was far less than that vision that we see pictured in Scripture. It was profoundly painful and hurtful. That experience of church was a place of significant wounding for me and my wife. So much so, it hurt so much pain, that I decided I wasn't sure if I wanted to keep going in ministry. And I'm confident today that many of you here have had experiences like that. And you are still here. You're still moving forward. But maybe you can still feel the wounds of that experience. Maybe you can still feel the disappointment in the church. And sometimes in church and about church, you only let yourself get so close or go so far because you fear those wounds are going to open up again, and you don't want to risk that. And I get it. I've been there. And the path to healing has been long and slow with ups and downs for me. But it begs the question, when this experience is common among Christians, so common that it's almost cliche, what does it mean to belong to the body of Christ? What does it mean to experience welcome in this household, this home, this family that we call the church? And I think hospitality is part of the answer to that question. I want to start by defining hospitality. This is on the first slide. Hospitality is that we welcome and to experience what they, and there's a slide with his picture. There we go. Also the author of many, many books about seeing the humanity in others, no matter who they are, and expressing the power of love that transforms in communities and relationships. He was close friends with Henry Nouwen, the writer of many spiritual disciplines, and Henry Nouwen found himself completely transformed when he joined a L'Arche community in Toronto. L'Arche communities are founded on the principle that everybody, absolutely everybody, no matter what, is of ultimate value and dignity and deserves love. And the way it works is that people with intellectual disabilities live in community together with people that journey with them and care for them. And part of the fundamental principle of L'Arche is that we journey together with people in self-giving love. And in doing so, we transform each other. And I thought, this has something to say beyond the homes, beyond the amazing model of community that they offer. This has something to say to the church as a whole. And I was so moved by this that I decided with a couple of friends to head to France, which was a real hardship, and visit the original L'Arche community and see firsthand what this was all about. So the next slide has my friends and I. You might recognize me there. I'm the guy in the front, the best-looking guy. And beside me is Craig Trainer, who's a pastor of Edmonton, and peeking through the back there is Mark Buchanan, who's a professor at Ambrose University in Calgary. So the three of us made this trip to France to visit this L'Arche community. And I will tell you that we got more than we bargained for and learned about hospitality and welcome in a bold, fresh, new way, in a way that defies being tamed and defined as a program.
but becomes a way of life that mirrors the welcome of Jesus and ultimately the incarnation of God and his attempts to welcome us and humanity home into his home. So the next slide, please. We went to that L'Arche community in a small village in France, and I could never get this right. It's called Trolley Brûlé or something like that. Sounds like a dessert. And the L'Arche community there is called La Ferme because it used to be a farm, and I suppose that's French for farm as well. And what we experienced there, the memory still lingers. It was a taste of what true hospitality could be. And what we saw in that L'Arche community inspires me because it reflects closely what we read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. And I'm going to read that to you today. I'm reading from the New Living, so you can follow along on the screen if you'd like. This is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Yeah, I think that's actually where I stopped. It's actually to verse 12. I think I said 14, but it's to verse 12. Hospitality is seeking the good of the other. And in no other place or time or existence has there ever been a greater act of hospitality than God sending his Son and offering eternal life, inviting us into his home at a huge cost to himself. And he did it because he was seeking the good of the other, us, you and I, all of us. That's what hospitality does. It seeks the good of the other. Let me tell you a bit about what was going on when John wrote this. There was some stuff happening in the church, stuff that didn't look like love, stuff that hurt people, stuff that wounded people, stuff that drove people away from the body and drove people away from the community of Christ's followers. Sound familiar? Because all of us, probably without exception, can relate to being hurt by others in the name of Jesus, to being made to feel like we don't belong, to be made to feel like we're not good enough, to be made to feel like we have secrets that we have to keep because we won't be accepted if we're too open. That stuff, all of that stuff was going on here in this church. And John is saying, God wants none of that. Because real love is about doing stuff for people. Isn't just about doing stuff for people because you will get something. Real love isn't primarily an exchange. And the word for love here, you're probably familiar with it, is agape. And I find it really interesting that agape, the word translated as love, could easily here have been translated as to welcome. Or to care for the welfare of the other. Or to use our definition of hospitality today, to seek the good of the other. That's agape. That's love. And it's so closely connected to true hospitality that it can't be separated. And if you truly get it, John says, if you truly are being transformed by the love of Jesus, then when you love others, you do so sacrificially, and that means letting go of your agenda. And instead of entering relationships seeking the good for yourself, you seek the good of the other. Now, maybe you think that sounds like it's really hard, way out of reach. But I know something. I know that every one of you here can do it. I know that through Christ who strengthens us, that we can seek the good of others and love purely. I know we can do it if we want to. And I think we do want to. And I think most people want to love and want to do good and just sometimes need to start doing it, need a little encouragement in the right direction. And you, my friends, at Mission Creek Alliance Church, I know you are capable of loving this way. I know you are. All of you, having received God's love, can reach out in love. You just need to do it. And you'll get better and better at it. And you'll discover that not only are you fulfilling your mandate as a follower of Jesus, but you are becoming something new. A better, fuller, more complete you. That's what happens when we love others and seek the good of the other. The problem the church was experiencing in 1 John wasn't anything new. It's an old problem. It's love that's exercised for self-gratification. And clearly what we are talking about here is actions of love, good deeds, and the deeds being done were done to make the people doing them feel good, to advance their agenda, and to make them look good. And that kind of love is not welcome. It's not hospitality. It's ultimately damaging because it's fake. And it doesn't come from a place of caring for the other, but from a place of using others to fill needs and desires. Hospitality, true hospitality, is primarily about seeking the good of the other. So our intention in visiting this large community in France was to see their model of hospitality and to see if we could see this model of hospitality put forward by Jean Vanier in action and see what it was all about. And I have to say that the welcome that we received at L'Arche was nothing short of inspiring and humbling and challenging. I want to introduce you to some people on the next slide here that we met while we were at L'Arche and give you a picture of our experience and what hospitality looked like there and what it could mean for us. The first one is Thomas, the guy in the front with the blue hoodie on. And he was the first guy we met, and he introduced himself as the director of hospitality. Thomas had come from Germany to live with the disabled in this community in France and had been there for over 10 years. And he was so welcoming, so interested in us, so concerned about our welfare that we thought, maybe they don't actually get any visitors here. Like, maybe we're the first guests ever to come to L'Arche. Because it was like we were the very first people ever to come visit them. And he made us feel that we had value to them, that he would rather be with us than anywhere else, and he had no hidden agenda for us. Met another guy. His name was Christoph. He's the tall, bald guy right at the back of the picture. And he came into a room that we were sitting in and introduced himself as a director of hospitality. He sat down with us, and he was completely attentive, completely with us. But the thing is, he didn't say much, and it threw us off a bit. We didn't know what to do in the almost silence of sitting with Christoph. Because I think we were so used to being with people and filling space with actions and words that it just felt a little bit awkward. And to be honest, we were unsure who was a director and who was a resident. And the three of us, the first day there, were in a place where we just wanted to get with the program. Get down to business. Make some plans. Figure some things out. Let's fix something. Turns out Christoph had been a monk and been part of an order where he'd been silent for 14 years. He was comfortable just being with someone, just being in presence, just enjoying people without pursuing an agenda. He had no agenda for us, and he didn't feel like he wanted anything from us, and he was seeking our good. And we didn't know what to do with that. We were so unused to having others seek our welfare that honestly it felt uncomfortable. So as three pastors, we were looking for solutions. We're used to making plans and being strategic. And that very first day at L'Arche, we were confronted with our deep inability to be silent and still and just be. Well, things got worse for us. The way things were set up, they were different houses, kind of like group homes. And there were people with intellectual disabilities and their friends, directors of hospitality, living there together. And we each got assigned to different homes. They separated us, and we went, and we sat with the disabled and their friends, and we ate with them. And this is what we saw. We saw profoundly disabled people living with their friends, and these people who were disabled were treated and viewed like they were the greatest treasures in the world. And I'm going to be really honest with you. There were some things that we found really hard. Eating with the disabled was hard. Sitting quietly with no agenda was hard. And seeing them in all their humanity was hard. And it exposed in us an inability to do nothing. It exposed in us a difficulty seeing the value in people when we couldn't see what they had to offer us. One of the things about L'Arche is that it is a Christian community, and they attend chapel together as often as they can. And chapel was probably a lot more traditional than most of us are used to, especially communion. And we were curious about what they would do, like how would this work with people who were intellectually disabled and some very severely. And one of the things they said around communion, even with all this high church stuff, they said this: things exist for people. People don't exist for things. Because when you live with the poor, you need to understand that our structures and religious traditions exist for people. And I want to tell you about one more person. His name was Tony. When we met Tony, I think there's a slide of Tony, the next one. He's the guy, the big guy in the blue shirt, I think. Yes. He introduced himself as, can you guess what he introduced himself as? He was a director of hospitality. And he was a very humble man, a very giving, loving man. And it turns out that Tony was a brilliant thinker and one of Jean Vanier's original participants in the L'Arche community. And besides just being comfortable, being present with us, having no agenda for us, Tony knew that we wanted to talk philosophy and theology. So he told us his story of coming to Christ and his relation to the poor. This is what Tony said. I'll try to do a French accent. I wanted an idea, a philosophy of Christianity. What I got was a person. Okay, not very good. But he saw Jesus in the disabled. He saw Jesus most clearly when he looked at the disabled and saw Jesus in them. That's where he was revealed. And he told us a bit about his journey. This was a guy who had been in an academic career as a philosopher. And he came to L'Arche in those early days to see a philosophy in action, kind of like what we were doing, right? So he came to L'Arche looking for an idea, but what he got was a person. And that person was his intellectually disabled friend, Michel. And that man led him to the answers that he needed. He told us a story of how he wanted to leave the L'Arche community and go back to his previous life of partying and all that stuff and thinking about life and ethics and love and being with people from a philosophical, abstract perspective. But he found he couldn't go because he had found himself in giving himself to others. He discovered love and acceptance by being a person of love and acceptance. And these were his words of those early days when he wanted to leave and he thought of leaving his friend Michelle and going back to his old life. He said, "Shoot, this one is my brother. I wanted a brother to party with, but I met a Downs man. A handicapped man led me to faith when I wanted an intellectual answer. God has a body. I met a person when I wanted an idea," end quote. And my friends, I wonder how many of us want the idea of hospitality, but not the experience of hospitality. I wonder if we have an agenda for people rather than being with them. I wonder if we can really see people, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, as people of infinite value and worth because they are created in the image of God. Because true hospitality seeks the good of the other. We went away from L'Arche profoundly moved and challenged, and we were aware that there are many lessons for the church in this, especially in hospitality. We learned about the humanity of all people. We learned about being present with others, and it's more important than doing. We learned that hospitality wasn't about having an agenda for a person. There's another scripture I want to draw your attention to. It's in Luke, and it gives us a picture of the heart attitude of true hospitality. This is Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. I love the way that paints a picture of true hospitality, because it's not what you get, it's what you give. It's not what you gain, it's what you extend. It's about seeing people for who they are without considering what you will gain from them. It's about a discipline that we need to practice and cultivate and get better at, that hospitality isn't just having someone over for food. Although that's a part of it. I think barbecues are a part of it. That's good news, right? It's a good start. But hospitality is way more. Biblical hospitality, Christian hospitality, is about opening yourself up to the other and giving of yourself to them. And it's a journey I know. I know I was not ready for the level of hospitality practiced by those amazing people at the L'Arche community in France, who daily, constantly offered themselves. But there's an irony here. In not seeking the reward, in not seeking gain, in not seeking self-promotion, they receive something far greater. It's the secret of the gospel. In losing our lives, we find them. In giving of ourselves, we find ourselves. And none of those people there would trade those relationships for anything because they were so in love with the people that others could not love. Because they were so transformed by the love of Jesus and by modeling and practicing the love of the cross that God forged them into something amazing. And the reward for them was their own capacity to love. Just kept increasing and increasing and increasing. And their own capacity to understand themselves and what was important in life was so great that they were abundantly fulfilled people. That's the secret. In giving, we find. In losing, we gain. Hospitality is seeking the good of the others. If I could have the next slide, that would be great. Here's what this looks like as a discipline. The first thing I want to talk about is seeing. Seeing others as people in God's image, as having intrinsic worth and incomparable value. That's all of us, no matter what. No matter what we've done, no matter who we are precious. And being a person of hospitality, being a church of hospitality, is about seeing others that way. The next is being. Being present with people instead of doing things for people. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to do stuff for people. It's good to help people. We don't want to stop that. But we must always be present with people. The doing flows out of the presence. Doing stuff for people when you're not present with them is not the way of hospitality. And being a person of hospitality, being a church of hospitality, is about being present with others. And it's about releasing. Releasing power over people and releasing our agenda and program for people. True hospitality is not a means to an end. And maybe this is the hardest one for us because we are so much a results people, a program people, a control people. Our structures and programs, whatever you want to call them, exist for people. It can never be the other way around. And being a person of hospitality, being a church of hospitality, is about releasing our agenda for others. Seek the good of each other, and we will flourish. God will be revealed through us. I believe that. No other time, like now, has the world needed to see what we can offer as the church. We are God's people, and God's people are a people of hospitality. So I want to encourage you today, as individuals and as a church, as Mission Creek Alliance Church, to be a people of hospitality, to seek the good of others. And there is no limit to what God will do through us if we do that. In the world and here in Kelowna, maybe even together as different churches. Thank you so much for having me. And may God bless you richly, Mission Creek Alliance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of ultimate hospitality. You emptied yourself for us, and we want to be like you. Help us to see people the way you see them. Help us to release our agendas for people and just love them the way you love them. Help us to just be with people. And Lord, would you show us as a church and as the church in Kelowna what it means for us to extend that hospitality out and see people meet you. In your name we pray, amen.